I've heard many places where people are asking, like the TV, the news, movies, even in the church, people asking, is God real? Is heaven real? Is the devil real? Is hell real? We'll be covering a little bit on each of these topics here in a little bit. But there's one question that I think is more important to us right now. And that is to ask ourselves, am I real? Am I real with God? Am I real with Jesus? Am I real with the Holy Spirit? Am I real with His Word? Am I real in prayer? Am I real in seeking others and making disciples like God tells us to do? So my hope is when we leave today, that question can be answered and not leave this place like we came in, but different, answering that question. So people ask if God is for real. And the title of this message, I titled it The Real Deal. Make sense? The Real Deal. So God is for real. Is He for real? The way we know is by the Word, by His Word. Otherwise, what else do we have? He left us His Word, and the Bible even says that in order for us to understand God, we have to hear the Word, because faith comes through hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if it is the Word of God, then we got to go to the Scriptures. So Romans 1:16. And I hope I'll go slow enough because, I like to back up everything I say with support. So I'll be mentioning several scriptures. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. We can't be ashamed of the gospel. How can we say if we're ashamed of the gospel or not? Well, do an auto-examination of yourselves. When you're outside the church, outside your Christian friends or family, when you're with other people at work, maybe you get together to eat and you may be ashamed of praying because they may see you. Or what else could it be? Now, is God for real? Start from the very beginning, Genesis 1:1. What does that say? In the beginning, who? God created the heavens and the earth. So from the very beginning, we see that God is the one that did all this. So God is real. So what else do we see here? Here's another one. Very familiar, John 3:16. What does that say? For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Again, the love and the mercy that God has for His people, He sent His only begotten Son. And again, we see that God is real. Here's another one. John 9:24. God is spirit. So what does a worshiper have to do? We have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not intellectual or where if I have a PhD or whatever trying to figure out how am I going to be worshiping God. No, it says worshipers of God worship Him in spirit and in truth. In fact, the Word, if we read on in other places, it says that he pulled out the humble. He pulled out those that may not even have had a education. And they embarrass the wise. There's something about a humble person. And that is that they're willing to accept things, or they're willing to entertain and to figure out or to analyze, versus other folks that right away they know it all and they don't want to hear. You don't have nothing else to say to them because they know it. And the Lord, I guess, knew this, and He picks a lot of folks that are very humble. We speak about where is God? So we see in the Scriptures that God is in heaven. We can look at the Lord's Prayer. How does the Lord's Prayer start off? Our Father who is where? in heaven. So right away, and this is Jesus talking. Remember that the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, pray like this, our Father who is in heaven. So Jesus telling them, God is in heaven. The Father is in heaven. So here we are now. Is heaven for real? Yes. What else does it say? Matthew 6:19-21. Matthew 6:19-21. Says, lay the treasures in heaven where it won't be corrupted. We're not going to take anything from here, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends. We came in here with maybe a little bit of butt naked. And that's how we're going to leave. Doesn't matter if you have a big house, a pretty car, or what have you, nice clothes, what have you. We're leaving out of here with nothing that we can't take anything. So where should we put our treasures? Put our treasures in heaven. In other words, spiritual things is what counts. Praise God. Here's another one, John 3:13. John 3:13. It says, who is the one that ascended into heaven? It's that same one who descended. In other words, Jesus. So he came from heaven, he went back to heaven. So is heaven real? Yes, it is. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 5:1. It says that we have an eternal house in heaven. Even Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And because I'm going to go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. So we have that hope and that desire that one day we will be with the Lord forever and ever because he promised it to us. Here's another one, very familiar. Here's Jesus at the cross. And it says that there were two others at the cross there with him. One on the left, one on the right. And then one of them says, hey, remember me. And what does Jesus say? From this day you shall be with me in paradise. Again, that's Jesus talking, telling them that yes, there is a paradise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then what happens after that? You have the other one kind of mocking like, hey, save yourself if you're really the Son of God. But yet this one decided, no, he hasn't done anything. So we see all this and we think, okay, so here is Jesus at the cross. After being tempted by the devil and so many other things, he died and had the victory. He was tempted, but he never sinned. So temptation comes to all of us. There's no doubt. But once you go further than that, then we fall into the sin. So what happened? Here's Jesus tempted in Matthew 4:1, where Jesus starts his ministry. He goes over to the desert to be tempted in all things. Some folks tell me that, well, you know, Jesus overcome because he's Jesus. He was God. Well, yes, but he was also a man. He came in the flesh for a reason. And that reason is to show us that whatever he did, we can do also. Because he says that we can do all things through him. If he showed us, he gave us the example. The only difference is that we don't, probably not praying like he prayed. Probably not seek God like he seek God, his Father. Because he was in constant prayer, and he said that what I do is not what I want to do, it's what my Father tells me to do. What I say is not what I want to say, it's what my Father tells me to say, I say. And that constant connection, that alignment, made him continue to go through and have the victory. Well, I'm here to tell you that we can have the victory as well. If we're willing to pay the price, to sacrifice, to seek him in spirit and in truth, in prayer, in fasting, in the word of God, in seeking him every day, not just on Sunday. If I were to ask it, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but if I were to ask, what did Pastor Paul preach last Sunday? Sometimes we're here on a Sunday like today, and then next Sunday it's like, okay, what did Edwin preach again? It's like it has to be internalized. And there has to be a difference. There has to be a change in our lives. We can't just hear it, and then when we leave, we're not doers. Praise God. So here's another one. Revelation 12:9 says that the devil was casted out of heaven with his angels, with his fallen angels. So here we see that the devil is real as well. And there was some kind of revolution or some kind of something going on up there that he wasn't welcomed anymore. Boom, throw him out. Now, we're not going to be able to pray to God to save the devil. He's done. And the fallen angels are done. And in the same manner, when we pass from this life, when either he calls us by name or that trumpet sounds, we're done. What we needed to do while we were still here alive. Once it's ended, it ended. And the Bible says that whatever direction the tree falls, that's where it's going to lay. So you got to think about these things when we read the scriptures, when you hear the preaching, because a lot of if you've been following the thread of when Sandra had preached and when Paul had preached and I had preached, and I mentioned this before, when Courtney and Leo's father-in-law had preached, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We just had the revival not too long ago. It's because there has to be a spiritual change. We can't continue just a social club, coming to church, being we get together, we do this, we do that. But then after that, what? Until the next Sunday? Because we have to be real. And that's the question. Am I real with God? Here's another one. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. It says that the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, mind you, hell and the lake of fire is not for us. It's not for us. It's for the devil and the fallen angels and the false prophet and the Antichrist. However, if we don't follow Christ, then we're going to go in there as well. And that's what the Bible teaches. Why do you think the devil is out like a roaring lion to see who he can devour? Why is he coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy? Because he wants to take as many of us as he can with him. He knows the end of his story. If we read the scriptures, we know it as well. So then it's up to us whether we want to follow him and be with him or be with the Lord forever and ever. Now, we talked about the lake of fire. The devil cast it out of heaven. In the lake of fire, a hell. Is there a hell? Well, here we go. In fact, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven, believe it or not. When I looked and researched, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And he talked more about it than all the other people in the Bible. Why? Because it's someplace that he doesn't want us to go. It is someplace that Jesus paid the price, and he doesn't want us, after he paid the price, he doesn't want us going there. It says that whoever shall believe shall be saved. If he paid the price and we are with Jesus, then we'll go with Jesus. If we reject it, then there's only one other place to go, and that's with the devil. That's in hell. You know, you hardly don't hear the messages today about sin or hell. Why? I accepted the Lord in 1986, December 1986, 33 years, and praise God, I've never gone back. Because I know that there's nothing for me there. The Lord is my everything. I love him with all of my heart, with all my soul. And I've been preaching for about 27 of those years. And I remember when hell and repenting from sin was the message. You have to repent from your sins or you're going to hell. You have to repent from your sins or you're going to hell. If you repent from your sins, then you shall be saved because Jesus paid the price. That was the message. And conviction would come to the people and they would be convicted. Nowadays, they may call it offensive. I don't know. But it was conviction. People wanted to change. There was something different in them. And then they in turn came to the Lord because that conviction came into their hearts and they wanted to change. We didn't hear too much about, well, the Lord knows your heart or your mind. In other words, you're okay because the Lord knows how you are. We're you know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. And we and these messages, yes, they're scriptural, but taken out of context, it makes people just like, okay, whatever. I accepted the Lord, so now free reign. That's not true. If that were true, why would we have church? Why would the devil be going around like a lion, like a roaring lion? And little by little, see, the enemy doesn't come to the church very evident. It's subtle. It seems good. It seems okay. It seems, you know, and before you know it, you're farther and farther from his word. And then we get mixed up with how the world thinks. You know, the world thinks, oh, you can't be offended. You got to give everybody trophies. You got to do to make everybody feel good. Well, I don't want to feel good going to hell. I'm telling you that right now. You know? In fact, the word says that it's better for me to go without an arm to heaven than to go with both arms to hell. Or to go without a leg to heaven than with both legs to hell. Or without an eye to heaven instead of with both eyes to hell. That's scriptural. Hell is real. Let's look at a little parable that Jesus talked about. Luke 16:19 through 31. Lazarus and the rich man. So here's Jesus. He talks about Lazarus. There was Lazarus who didn't have anything. He was a homeless guy, I guess you could say, all filled with sores and what have you in a corner. The rich man had everything, didn't pay any attention to Lazarus. And it came a point where they both died. And then, once they were in that place, it says that they could see each other. It says that they were talking to each other. But that one couldn't go to the other side, and the other one couldn't go to the other side, so they were separated. So here's a rich man and sees him, and he says that Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. And then the rich man's like, won't you send Lazarus over here so he can touch, at least give me some water, because it's burning over here. And the Bible does talk about burning. In a place like a lake of fire, I would think it's burning. Basically torment forever and ever. You know, some people here may be 70, 80 years old, and it may seem like a long time, but imagine forever. That's a long time. So what happens? So here's Lazarus and the rich man. And then Abraham says, well, you know, what you had up there, you had all the benefits up there, and now that you're down here, Lazarus has it here. So the rich man, he looks and he's like, well, how can Lazarus come over here? And what does Abraham say? He goes like, we can't go over there and you can't come over here. And the rich man says, well, I tell you what, why don't you send somebody up there to I got five brothers. To tell them, to let them know, to change so that they don't come over here because this is bad, basically. And then Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets up there. Even if someone were to rise up from the dead, it isn't going to make a difference. They're not going to believe it. Don't we see that sometimes nowadays? when we preach the word, we talk about God, you hear it so much and so forth, and there's always folks that try to either scientifically justify it away. So it wouldn't matter if somebody would rise up from the dead, because they could probably say, well, they weren't dead anyways. You know, they were in some comatose place or whatever, and they woke up and what have you. They won't believe. So here's a place where we see that there's a place of torment and a place that is of relaxation, of peace, tranquility in the bosom of Abraham. So here's another one, Mark 9:48. Jesus says that it is a place where fire never goes out. Basically, eternal torment. Another one, Matthew 13:42. The gnashing of teeth in the lake of fire. Again, we don't hear these messages too much nowadays, but the Lord put in my heart, we have to start preaching some of these messages again. So that we understand that this is not just a textbook, something that we learned about, something that we heard about, but that God is real, that heaven is real, that the devil is real, and that hell is real. And we're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. Bottom line. And nowadays it sounds harsh. Oh my goodness, my brother. That is so hard. You remember there's another story about Jesus. He was walking, he had the disciples and a bunch of people following him. And Jesus has to come and give them a tough word, tough love, however you want to say it. And they all start leaving. I don't want none of this. I don't want none of this. I don't want none of this. I don't want it. And they start leaving. And Peter comes and says, like, Lord, that was a tough word. They're leaving. Got them offended, I guess. I mean, Scriptures doesn't say that, but I'm just saying. Got them offended. They're leaving. And what does Jesus say? Oh, I'm so sorry. Go get him. Please don't touch him. You know, bring him back. Love him. Whatever. No, what does he say? He says, do you want to go too? That's what he tells him. Do you want to go too? And Peter's like, no way. So anyways, this is Jesus. So after seeing all this, we know that God is real. That heaven is real. That the devil is real. That hell is real. Now, what do we have to say about, am I real? Am I real with God? Am I real with the Scriptures? Am I real in prayer life? Because one day, we're going to find out whether we're going to heaven or going to hell. Praise God. See, the Bible says that when we come to Jesus, we are a new creation. The old stuff, doesn't matter what you did, how many times you did it, who you did it to, whatever. It says that when you come to Jesus and repent, Jesus will forgive you and we become a new creation. All the old things have passed. And behold, here they're all made new. And he says even something further. He says that all our sins will be thrown in the most deepest part of the sea, never to bring them back out. And this is a message on itself. Because sometimes when you become a Christian, the devil tries to come back and say, like, huh, what are you doing there? You were doing this, you did that, you know, 10 years ago you did that. And especially nowadays, you know, when you're 16, you were doing this. Who knows what? And he'll start bringing all that into your mind and starts kind of giving you doubts or what have you. No, if you are a born-again Christian, if Jesus has forgiven your sins, then you just tell the devil, yes, I did it, but I am no longer a sinner because Jesus Christ paid the price for me. He took all those sins away. Here I am. I am a new creation. In other words, born again means you're born again. All the old things have passed. So don't let those little words, those little people, little things coming into your mind saying, you did this, you did that. No, if you ask for forgiveness and you were forgiven through Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. Now, what are you going to do with that continuously going forward? The Bible says that we're to go out and make disciples. Praise God. So what else we have here? Jesus is the name above all names. It is the name under the heavens given unto us, where all knees shall bow, and everything is in the name of Jesus. You know, when the people tried to come against the disciples and the apostles, and they in one occasion they got Paul. And they had him where they didn't want him to preach. They didn't want him to go out and give messages in the name of Jesus. You see, because they got together and they said, just let them, you guys can go, but don't be saying anything in that name. Basically, they could go out and continue doing what they were doing, but not in the name of Jesus. So there's something powerful in the name of Jesus in a person that's been born again. Otherwise, why would they say that? Why would the world right now, when we talk about Jesus, they would say that? It's okay to be with this religion, that religion, that religion, that religion, but when it comes to the name of Jesus, something's different about it. Of course there's something different about it, because he is the only true God. All the other religions, they have him as a prophet, as somebody great, as whatever the case might be. But only Jesus came and professed to be God. So there's something powerful in the name of Jesus. So when we look at this and we say, if there is that power in us and with us, because I asked the Lord one time when I first came to the Lord and I was praying as I knew at that time, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how I wish stuff could have been with you in those days when you were walking. I could see your miracle power, your everything that was going on. And I heard a clear voice, just like if you were talking to me. Tell me, why would you have wanted to be in that place? Don't you know that Jesus is better now with you? Because wherever you go, he's there with you. That's what the voice told me. So Jesus is real. God is real. I've been through so many experiences that nobody can tell me differently. Praise God. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, Naomi stood up here and she was talking about getting another job. And she was a little down about it because she was wanting to leave that job. It was really frustrating her and so forth. And she said she went into the little room in that place, and she called up onto God and said, God, I can't do this anymore. Help me. And she said, I heard a voice just that, like you're talking to me right now. Tell me, go look at your email. And when she went to go look at her email, there was a job offering of something that she had put on before. And she had checked it, and it wasn't there before. And what happened? She got the job. That's where she's working now. Not too long ago, I was talking with Joe, and I hope Joe doesn't mind me sharing a testimony that she told me. She goes, oh, which one is it? If it's bad, your husband could beat me up later. But no, it's good. But anyways, Joe was telling me that she was in a camp meeting one time. Remember that one? She was in a camp meeting one time, and she went there, and as the people were offering, you know, who has something to say, who has something to say, who has something to say, I'm going to just summarize, okay? And she said that the voice was just telling her, like I'm talking to her now, was telling her, tell this girl that for her being here, it'll be a blessing for her sister. And she said she was struggling with it. She's like, Lord, but I don't know this girl. I don't even know if she has a sister. And she said that she was kind of struggling and holding back and holding back and holding back, but it was just so strong, pushing her and pushing her, she had to give in. So then she went ahead. She goes, okay, I have something to say. And she told her. She told what the Lord was telling her. And she said later on, I don't know if it was the camp leader or whoever, told her, you know, that was from God. Because that girl right there, the sister, couldn't come because they couldn't afford her, something like that, right? Couldn't afford it. So that word that she heard from you was from God. Tell me that God is not real. Praise the Lord. God is real. All we have to do is put ourselves in his hands. Submit ourselves. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from us. But remember, first it says submit to God. Seek him in spirit and in truth. Now, once we do this and get closer to God, God will get closer to us. And then what happens? Then we can see, we can look, almost like Jacob did. Remember what Jacob did? Genesis 32, 22 through 32. Genesis. Jacob, here's an angel. And Jacob, wrestling with this angel. And Jacob, he's like, you're not leaving until you bless me. And he says he kept on, there was a wrestling match there. And Jacob's like, no, you're not leaving until you bless me, until you bless me, until you bless me. How many of us can do that when we pray or when we seek God and say, Lord, I'm not leaving here until you bless me, or I'm not leaving here until I hear your message, or I hear the answer to my prayers? How many are willing to do that wrestling, to do that fight, that spiritual fight, when we just said that God is in spirit, so we have to look at it spiritually? Now, here's another one. 2 Kings 6:17. Now, here's Elijah. There's a lot of military folks. And his servants like, whoa, there's a lot of people. There's no way we can do this. He was all nervous, all scared. What was going on? And what does Elijah do? He's like, oh, my goodness. What am I going to do with you? Again, it doesn't say all that, but I'm putting it in. So what does Elijah do? He says, Lord, God, open his eyes so that he can see that there are more with us than against us. And when God opened his eyes, it says that he looked up and he saw thousands of angels of battle. In other words, he wasn't alone. When we're going through our battles, when we're going through our situations, when we're going through our circumstances, we're not alone. God is with us. He will send those angels of battle, and he will do the battle for us. We can't give up. We can't see what's in front of us. There's no telling sometimes how many angels are around or what things are going on in the air that we can't see. But we have to open our spiritual eyes. And I'm going to end with this. And this is a song that Joe and the praise team usually sings as well. Like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You know the song that she sings up there? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. So I'll take it a little bit further. Open the eyes of my eyes, Lord, of my heart. I want to see you in my marriage. I want to see you in my finances. I want to see you in my family. I want to see you in my children, in my children's children. I want to see you every day of my life until you call me or that trumpet sounds. But I want to see you. Have that in your heart. I want to see you. There's got to be a love for Jesus, a love for God that it surpasses all understanding. Once we do that, we'll start seeing God a lot differently. We'll start seeing, in fact, we won't even see our circumstances or our situations, because we'll be focused on Jesus. And Jesus won't change. He doesn't change. He's the same. If we focus on our family can change. If we focus on our spouses, the spouses can change. If we focus on the children can change. If we focus on our finances can change. Everything in this world can change, but God will never change. And that's why our focus should be on Jesus all the time. When we start doing that, I can guarantee you that no matter what comes, you can say, me and my house will serve the Lord no matter what. And you won't start, you won't see problems as problems. You'll start seeing them as situations and circumstances on how to grow, on how to mature, on how to become a better Christian. And you got to remember that the devil is real, but he can't come against the child of God unless God permits him to come against us. And if he does, it's for a reason. And we just have to work through it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So what are you going to do when you leave this place? Have you answered the question, am I for real with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with his word? Am I for real? Or am I just playing church? You see, it just takes a spark. When we look at things that's happened in the past, especially here in the United States, it just takes a spark of somebody standing up and say, no, enough is enough, devil. I'm going forward and seeking God and spirit and in truth, and things started to change. It just takes one of us. It takes two, three. It just continues on and starts spreading. Why not start at Three Point Bible Church? For that to happen around Jonesboro, around Clayton County, Henry County, Fulton, Fayette, whatever, all around, even all of Georgia. There are people out there that probably haven't heard from the Lord yet or haven't heard about the Lord yet that we can talk to, that we can invite them to church. There are several, I'm sure. And people are looking for something different. Some folks think that church is the same as the world. So they're looking for something different. So a lot of times folks are like, what am I going to go to church if it's the same as the world? But when they start seeing the change, when they start seeing the power of God manifesting himself, because if he did it, then he could do it today, just like EJ said earlier in his prayer. So how many of us can say, God, I am for real? Let's go ahead and stand. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, the privilege, and the blessing that you've given to us today, Lord. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. You know us, Lord. Why should we lie? Where can we go? Where can we hide that you cannot see us? So, Father, I abandon myself in your hands, Lord, and I unite together with each and every person that has said present this morning, Father God. And I ask you for each and every one that you speak to their hearts and their minds. And, Lord, that you touch them in a mighty and special way. That we may repent from anything, Lord, that's not agreeable to you. And your word says that if we repent and we convert from our evil ways, you will forgive us and you will heal us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for each and every one here, Lord. Let us not leave this place like we came, but let us leave, Lord, saying, I am for real with you and all of yours, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Father, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and all lift our hands right there where we're at. Praise God. Glory to God. And I know for some it's probably been a long time and from when we first came to the Lord and said it, but I just feel in my heart to go ahead and do the sinner's prayer and just voice it up to the Lord. I can't do anything for you, but God can. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. So right now, I believe that with the confession of our mouth, we can move mountains. That whatever it is that's in our lives or situations, circumstances, confess it with your mouth right now to the Lord and let Him be God. Don't try to help God. He doesn't need our help. We mess it up when we try to help Him. Praise God. So repeat that after me. With my mouth, I confess Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And because He lives, I can live also. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.